Welcome back to the Blindsiders. I am Ben and I'm here with Brian to talk about episode number 7 of Survivor 45. And it's a double elimination episode. And we lost a couple big characters, but Shot in the Dark didn't extend Caleb's life in the game too long, but got him some extra stipend money.
You got him a vacation at Ponderosa.
Yeah, he gets to affect the outcome of the season now, which might be relevant. What are your thoughts? I know, both me and you are not super big fans of this twist.
No. I was sad that it knocked out both Sifu and Caleb. Couldn't handle one of them leaving in an episode, but both of them, that hurt. I was hoping for bigger things from Sifu. Just because he just seemed like such a dynamic character, but he just could never find his footing, it seems, with his own alliance or with his own tribe, rather. And then the merge didn't really help him at all either. So unfortunate, but I got my Lulu buff on. We're down to one. Emily, shout out, probably in high school voted most likely to succeed. I think after the first episode of this show would have been voted least likely to succeed, but here she is, the last Lulu left, which that's very exciting, if nothing else.
Yeah, it's definitely a very cool story, and we've talked about Emily's story for multiple times on this podcast at this point. And obviously it will continue to potentially down all the way down to the end.
When she wins $1 million, what then?
Yeah. Well, then I get to be like, hi, I knew Lulu had something.
Yeah, because beginning of the season, that was kind of your tribe, right? That was the one that you were backing. Didn't look great, but now looks pretty good. Better than the Bello tribe that I'm backing, I think.
Well, yeah, I mean, despite having half of the remaining members, I don't think that the winner is going to be on Bello.
No. I don't either.
Yeah.
I know a lot of people are thinking, Kelly, hey, I hope she can make it to the end. I don't see how it happens, but, I guess we'll figure it out. I feel like one thing, Ben, we talked a little bit before the show, and I want to kind of bring it here. You and I see this post-merge, I think, really like, okay, there are two sides. It's happening. Reba has the upper hand. They're probably not going to squander it. At this point, I feel like at least from what I've seen online, the general public or like the super fans, people that we would interact with, they feel like the game is a lot more open. And I just wanted to get your thoughts on that, because I do not feel like this post-merge is very open for a lot of these players.
I mean, I guess we'll see. You saw the preview, this like teasing of a woman's alliance. It's probably just a little bit of deflection off of.
Yeah, so a woman will definitely be voted off next episode.
Yeah, exactly. It's like it definitely has the tinges of a standard Survivor preview, or just like trying to confuse you or like knock you off. But I think that I don't know. Maybe it's just because of the way that the tribes have been like displayed in the edit, where Reba is way more like fleshed out. Julie lesser of a degree, but Austin, Drew, and Dee are all like super well fleshed out strategic characters, and so it just feels like they have more of a presence. It kind of gives me vibes of last season as well, where I can't remember the names of the tribes, but the non Heidi tribe,
right? Yeah.
Other than Danny, seemed way more fleshed out, and then it's like kind of similar vibes that I'm getting here, where you can kind of tell which people are going to come up on top from that, and maybe I'm projecting that onto my read of the game. But I don't know. Bello seems like such a hot mess. Like even this episode, like Bruce was a hot mess. Katura was a hot mess. Jake was a hot mess. Like Kelly, the reason people are like hyper focused on Kelly is because she's the only one on Bello who's like a replacement level Survivor player.
Right. Yeah, because we had like given her a lot of props, obviously, for being in well with the Bellow people, but it's like that doesn't matter if they're all self-destructing. Yeah. It doesn't matter if they're all liking you, if they're blowing up their own positions and the positions of other people on the tribe. So
yeah, so I mean we kind of opened this episode with Bruce confronting Keturah in front of, was it Drew and Austin or was it Drew and?
Yeah, it was Drew and Austin.
Okay, I knew Drew was there. I couldn't, I wasn't 100% sure who the second one was, but I assumed it would be Austin. Basically, like calling her out and be like, hey, why didn't you want to vote out Caleb when everyone else in the tribe wanted to vote out Caleb? And she's like, are we really doing this here? Like, oh, why?
Yeah,
why are you doing this?
Insane decision making from Bruce. He has really become a wild card and just like someone who just cannot be played with long term. You know, Kendra and Kelly had a conversation where, like, we should bring him to the end because no one will vote for him. It's like, that's not going to happen.
Yeah.
Like, it's not going to work. You know, he's going to be too locked in on his, you know, decision making. So I don't know why he did that. He hates her. He hates Keturah.
They hate each other. We thought it was a one-sided thing, but no, it's definitely not. It's definitely two-sided.
Yeah.
But I think by the end of the episode, Kelly at least came around to being like, well, I don't want to take Bruce out on my power. Or like, I'll let somebody else make that shot and like let him be a shield for me. I think she even has come to realize that there's no way to feasibly like track him to the end.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I don't know. He describes this as like a strategic play where it's like, you know, oh, I'm sowing, you know, dissent to make people not trust Keturah so that they'll like go after her before me or whatever. Which like, I guess on paper that could make sense if you didn't do it in front of her as well. Like, cause like, you're just stirring up drama for no reason because it's not gonna like the way that it would not come off the way that it did is if he individually went to Austin or Drew or both of them maybe together and said, yeah, I wasn't really sure if that was gonna go through because Keturah was really pushing for the other option, you know. And I was on the board with Caleb. Like,
basically for no reason, just nuked her from orbit. Like,
yeah.
It's just like, why? Why? I don't understand.
Yeah.
It plays in very well. Like, and I'll say this now because I feel like also the people on Twitter disagree with this take. I don't think it was the best move for Keturah to vote Caleb off here. I get it, but I don't see how it helps her get any further in the game. I think she's potentially drawing dead with the status quo, and now I think she's certainly drawing dead with the new, you know, status quo. I just don't see how she can, unless she's all of a sudden like the greatest Survivor player of all time, which I don't think she is. There's just no path that I can see for her.
Well, no,
I get it.
Yeah, no, I get it as well. I think that like, I think Jake and Caleb probably played worse than Keturah in this episode.
Sure, yeah, yeah.
But like, that doesn't necessarily mean Keturah's decision was good. Yeah, I agree. She's drawing dead. I think the only way she wouldn't be is if she can somehow recuperate a relationship with Bruce. But that's not happening.
Yeah, so like that's kind of what I'm like getting at. Where it's like, maybe she'll just all of a sudden turn into like, you know. We have the Big Brother finale coming up. Maybe she's Suri all of a sudden out of nowhere. Mm-hmm. I doubt it though.
Yeah, well, I just don't. I think even like the best Survivor player couldn't do that. Like we see Kelly, who I think is an above average Survivor player, like struggling to maintain like Bruce as an ally, and it's like clearly exhausting her. and I just don't. I don't think that like Bruce is somebody that. Like, and it's said multiple times by multiple people in this episode, is willing to change his mind once he's kind of set in a decision or set in an opinion. I just don't see her being able to move forward. Like, her best case scenario is like Emily realizes that Bello is easier to crack open than Reba, flips, and then, like, maybe Keturah can, like, swing a final three with Jake and Kendra, and, like, maybe she has a shot there, but that's, like, you're it's, like, three levels of maybes. So yeah, I don't know. I don't see the path at this point for her. Maybe she can, you know, surprise, but yeah, I don't see it.
Yeah. And I just think, like, if there's ever going to be an opportunity for her to, like, regain the ground that she lost in the pre-merge, it was going to be like smashing this tribe versus tribe thing apart, mm-hmm. and reorganizing it. We talk a lot in Big Brother about the, like, house hierarchy and when you should, as a player, like, work to not undermine it, but just completely smash it and try to rebuild it. We saw that on this season of Big Brother with Corey, you know, breaking the hierarchy, tried to rebuild it. It didn't work out for him, but it did change the outcome of the game based on what was happening at the time. I think with Caleb there's a better shot of it, because Caleb's not a fan of Bruce, you know, like, there's going to be bigger targets and there's going to be an opportunity to, like, kind of form, like, a coalition of overlapping tribes rather than this, what we're seemingly going to get, one tribe versus the other, and probably Reba coming out on top with Emily as, like, a part of that Reba coalition.
Yeah, and I think the biggest thing as well is, so far, the power players on both sides have, like, recognized that it's in their best interest to delay this war as long as possible, because, one, that gives them, like, more room to play with, and two, it stops the potential for, like, the people on the bottom of their alliance from internally cannibalizing later down the road, which is what's happened in the new era historically. And this is like something, this is like not even like a new strategy. Like, this is like a, you know, Tina Weston strategy from Australian Outback, where she would, she like took steps along the Pagonging to get rid of Amber and Jerry along the way so that they wouldn't be able to cannibalize her alliance while still retaining the members with the other power from the other side.
Like, yeah. Shout out to Tina too. Last older woman they gave a good edit to. After that, entirely downhill.
Yeah. But yeah, so like I feel like that's kind of where the show is going, and it's not really going to be beneficial, even if like Keturah comes to this realization in the episode that she's like on the bottom, or she was at least pre-merge on the bottom of the, you know, new Lulu. It doesn't really necessarily translate to her current position. So especially when people are like so vocally and visibly burnt out from Bruce, like that's not going to be a situation that lasts. So I don't know. I understand the reasoning, but I don't know if it was necessarily a great decision. But I also, you know, going to rocks, or like at least threatening to go to rocks, is scary, especially this early. So it's like, I don't know.
Yeah,
I can see it both ways.
If they had done it, I would have like given them all the props in the world for just having like so much courage at that, you know, spot. But it's also like, you know, we talk about like taking big swings and like making big moves. I don't think going to rocks would have been like one of these moves that people make just for the sake of making a move. Mm-hmm. I do think it was kind of a line in the sand moment for Jake to be like, I want to move forward with these people, and the only way to do it is to try to force this out. And if it doesn't work, well, I'm probably not going to win anyways. So yeah, I may as well just do it. And he maybe torpedoed his game, but I respect it.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, I think that's kind of also why analyzing this from Keturah's perspective is tricky, and why there's like so much kind of debate about it, is because I think in any, like, no matter what she did, I think she would be in a bad spot. It's just kind of like, it's like ticky-tack of like where she would have been a slightly less bad spot.
Yeah, no, she spent the pre-merge putting herself in a nearly unwinnable position. Is that entirely her fault? Probably not. Bruce, you know, and her seem to not get along very well, but it certainly is her fault in some ways, right?
I mean, I think so. I think that, like, I think somebody like Kelly has demonstrated that it's possible to, like, understand the downsides of a player like Bruce and, like, not really want to super work with him long term while still, like, you know, putting on a happy face and, like, you know, not making it so obvious that you're working against him behind the scenes. So, yeah.
Right. And, like, you know, if ever there was a good example of, like, why it's kind of, it's okay to go to tribal pre-merge, I think it's this, because all these Bellers are going to lose because the took the steps to, like, put Katara on the outs is, like, a, you know, easy vote probably for the first tribal council, and it never happened. And now Katara has realized her position in it and has basically, like, not screwed. I don't know if screwed them is the right word, because it's not like she was part of their plans, but certainly undermined their, like, ability to go far in the game, probably.
Yeah, no, I know a lot of people were, I think we may have made the same comparison as well. We're, like, trying to make a comparison between Emily Caleb and Malcolm Denise, which obviously not happening at this point. You know, Caleb's gone. But I do see a lot of similarities to, like, a Tandang, you know, who never had an opportunity to go to a tribal council in Philippines. And then the second the merge hit, just immediately started cannibalizing themselves because all of this, like, pent up personal vendetta stuff was just, you know, waiting to blow.
Yeah, no, to the point where, like, you know, obviously a certain player got it, you know, teamed up with a former 80s sitcom star and they positioned themselves well. But, you know, the other three from their, oh, I guess other four really from their tribe were just sitting ducks at that merge.
Yeah, no, I mean, it is interesting because there were like, ultimately, if you look at, like, the results of the season on paper, three Tandangs were in the final five. So you could say, like, the Tandangs won against the Calabas, but they really didn't, because they, like, they in the process, like, capitalized on all of their, like, very limited social capital to get there, and then just had zero respect.
And Calabal kind of hurt themselves by also having pent up, you know, frustration from the pre-merge that carried into the merge and ended up with Jeff Kett getting sniped in what still to this day one of the greatest tribal councils of all time, in my opinion. But like, that didn't help Calabar. They, like, almost got there, and then they dropped the ball at the 1 yard line.
Yeah, and this is a very similar kind of story as well, where you have, like, in their case, they had, like, a meta quit as one of their, like, two real tribal councils. And here also the Rebas had, like, basically a quit in Sean to, like, not allow them to really air out anything. And so they also went into the merge. And now the two people that were left out from there, they also got cannibalized now in GMI and Sifu. So yeah, and also a red tribe. So there's a lot of similarities. And if you want to talk about, like, New Lulu is a yellow, there's a lot more similarities here than I expected when I'm going through them.
And also big for Reba, while he did, you know, cannibalize two of their own who are on the outs of their original tribe, neither of them are going to be on the jury. Mm-hmm. So they don't have to face that at all.
Yeah.
You know?
No, yeah, this very much feels, I mean, this is kind of, I guess, like what Philippines would look like if Malcolm was the merge boot.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, and Calabar was actually able to, like, you know, maintain a core and not have all this pettiness kind of mm-hmm. themselves completely.
It's a great season, though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 100%.
Hopefully this will end in the, you know, similarly fun way. But, yeah, we might still get the Denise winning of the Denise and Malcolm partnership.
Yeah, I think it's still a great story. All right.
So what do you think of the challenge? Do you like, I mean, putting aside the split, which we both already said we don't like, I'm happy to see a Survivor Classic come back.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, it's a good challenge. It's fun. Like I enjoy challenges where I can tell what's going on. So I think that, you know, there are some challenges in modern Survivor where I literally have no clue what the fuck is going on. And then somebody wins and I'm like, okay, cool. That's a very straightforward, you know, as Jeff puts it, here are the rules. You stay on the pole until you can't anymore. And it's like, okay, that's it. Very straightforward, you know?
Yeah. I think it was the first time in a little while that we didn't see someone fall from the top. Shout out Andrea and Michelle for that.
Yep, get marks all up and down their thighs.
Yep. So, you know, I think it's great. Love that the D-toe scene paid off here. I mean, yeah, she was not always using her feet to hang on, but it's that had to be foreshadowing for this, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I thought somebody say, like, we got payoff from the foreshadowing of these toes before we got payoff for the foreshadowing of the Keturah and Bruce rivalry. Yeah.
Well, fate is just, like, not allowing that to, like, ever happen yet. Yeah,
they've not both been on, they have not both attended a tribal council where either of them have been.
Yeah, insane.
Yeah.
So insane.
Yeah.
And, you know, shout out to her. She's the last person, you know, because Bruce's split went first to attend a tribal council without immunity or not be immune for a round. So, yeah, that's something.
Yeah. No,
it's like day 15 or whatever, so it doesn't seem that crazy, but the game's like more than halfway over.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, it's impressive. And I mean, something that she even brings up in the episode, where she's like, yeah, it's the first time I've been at a tribal council where I've been vulnerable. Yeah.
Oh man, but yeah, I think I really like this challenge. I really hope that they keep using it because it's simple, but it's fun and interesting. And yeah, that's really all I had to say about the challenge. I don't know why I went on a tangent about it, but like I just wanted to give a shout out to a classic.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, we usually, the only time we usually talk about challenges is when we complain about them. So it's good to, like,
right, say, hey, yeah, I want to
challenge.
Yeah, I like the, you know, there's certain that I really think are fun and interesting. You know, the torture rack, that's a great one.
Yep.
I think, what else? I like the one where you have to roll the balls down the thing and, like, land them. That's fun. That's interesting.
Yep.
Even just holding the balls on the plate, also great. You know,
yeah,
I guess I just really like endurance style challenges more than the running and do stuff challenges.
Yeah, endurance or like, you know, carnival game style ones.
Yeah, stuff with high variance or like not, you know, just muscle your way through stuff.
Yeah, stuff that just like, you know, yeah, ones that aren't just like things that could have been pre-merged tribal challenges.
Right. But yeah, so I don't like this twist at all. But we'll, I'll try to talk about like some impressive stuff in it. Drew, no one came for him at all. Amazing stuff. You'd think he might have a target on his back at this point, but no, it doesn't seem like anyone's really that interested in taking him out yet.
Well, yeah, I mean, he just immediately like offered up Sifu as like a sacrificial lamb. So yeah,
that's true. So that's good, but that was good gameplay by him, you know.
Yeah,
what does he owe Sifu anything, you know?
Not barely any. I mean, I don't even know if I guess like I don't know. I think he could have fought for Sifu, maybe not.
It would have had to be a rocks thing.
Yeah,
I mean, maybe Kendra. Maybe he could have flipped Kendra if he was like actually motivated to.
Mm-hmm. Well, but, actually, both players who won immunity got their way, like their mm-hmm. side got their way, right? So I guess that makes sense. And in both cases, there was kind of a 3-3 split. Mm-hmm. And also, in both cases, the side with the Lulu member lost in the, you know. So it makes sense. Like, it was probably correct to just offer up Sifu, yeah.
Yeah, and I don't think Emily cared too much for Sifu either.
Yeah, well, she had relationship with him. Like, her connection...
I think it was just kind of like whatever. Like, okay.
Yeah.
You know, your Tai Chi is, or whatever you're doing is interesting. Your balance stuff.
Well, I mean, the fact that Sifu even got this far, I've seen people say that Sifu got like robbed, or he got screwed by this twist, which I think it's insane.
Got screwed out of a jury spot in the sense that I don't think he would have gone in a 12-person tribal council.
That's fair. I mean, I think the fact that they had a double tribal and had one of the two not be on the jury and the other one be on the jury was wild. I don't know why they just can't have
a really shitty.
Yeah, I don't know why they just can't have a 9-person jury.
What is Caleb going to be doing? Like, are they going to put him in a tent and be like, you have to wait for the pre-jury to leave Ponderosa, then you can come, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, Sifu and him got voted off like an hour apart, right?
Maybe it's the other way around, where like they had the pre-jury, like, you know, on a boat ready to be sent off, and they were like waiting for Sifu, and they just like rushed him out of the boat.
Oh, sorry, Sifu, you can't shower, you can't eat, you get on the plane.
Yep.
Sorry. 14-hour flight.
Yeah.
Back to LA.
You can, you know, go into the airplane bathroom and splash some water on your face. Yeah.
Oh, dude, isn't that the worst when you're like traveling like a long day and you feel gross and all you can do is just like that in the bathroom? Mm-hmm. Oh, hate it.
Yeah. I don't know. I think that Sifu was lucky, honestly. Like, if Shaw didn't quit, Sifu was like almost certain.
Yeah, a pre-merge anyways.
Yeah, and then like, you know, he basically got bailed out by J Maya, like deciding to be horrible at Survivor for no reason. The fact that he even made it this far is less a testament to his abilities as a player and more a testament to like luck and other people playing worse.
And luck's a huge part of Survivor. Ask him. Lucky to survive one tribal, and now she might be there for all of them.
Mm-hmm. So that's I guess what else are we going to talk about here? What were your thoughts on the we talked about the strategy on the Caleb side of the vote, but what were your thoughts on the editing with the genius style flash forward?
It was interesting. You know, I don't know if I loved it, but like it was interesting for them to do. I didn't hate it outright, you know, but it was very much like, okay, well, so this will be the storyline because we are shown some of the votes. So there was no like real deep intrigue beyond like what's Katara going to do, you know? Mm-hmm. Like there's never any threat of it bouncing back on Jake or anything like that, you know?
Yeah, that's fair, I guess. I liked it just because it was different.
Yeah, exactly. Like it was cool. I like that they're getting outside of their comfort zone the last few seasons with the editing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I also like it, I didn't find it to be like that spoilery. Like if anything was spoilery to me, it was like the runtime hitting up against the 1.5-hour mark. I was like, oh, there's no way there's time for a revo here, so Caleb's for sure going.
That makes sense. Yeah.
I don't know. I liked it. I mean, I'm a big genius fanboy, so I think that style of editing when it's done right.
Yeah. So. I mean, we'll see. I saw, you know, Jake had a funny joke. Someone's like, you know, congratulations to Raven making her appearance with the flash forward on that. And he like quote tweets like, sometimes you're Raven, sometimes you're Chelsea. Mm-hmm. Which, you know, he's been funny on Twitter. Yeah.
Well, I think the whole cast has been pretty funny on Twitter.
Yeah. But it's a good cast. Like, it really is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's a testament to like how, you know, 90% of whether a Survivor season is good or not is just a good cast.
Right. Yeah, exactly. And of course the 90 minute episodes help letting us get to know them very well. But, you know, I've been not pleasantly surprised. I've just been happy that Jake has been a big character, as you know, he's a Massachusetts guy like we are. That's always great to root for. Then as my winner pick, it's like, well, I don't think he's going to win this season, but you know, at least he made an impact on it.
Yeah. Do you have a like hard winner prediction right now?
This might sound so dumb, but I think Emily's going to win.
Mm-hmm. No, I agree. I agree. I think Emily's going to win. I think that the people right now I'm looking at are like, Emily, D, Kelly, Austin.
Yeah.
I think Austin's like story has been kind of flat, mm-hmm. especially recently. D kind of gives me more of like Danny vibes from last season, mm-hmm. where there was like, oh, you know, really big player, kind of controlling some stuff, mm-hmm. but you know, might fall off and like kind of getting like a villain twinge. Yeah.
Right.
So I feel like that's kind of more of what we're getting from D, is like potential like second half of the merge villain. And then like Kelly, I can see it, but like I don't really see a strategic path forward for Bello. So unless something majorly changes, which it might, I don't really know how she gets there. So yeah, I'm all in on Emily.
And I just love the idea that she just like was like, I hate that Gabler won so much that I'm gonna apply and win Survivor myself.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's awesome. That'd be such a great storyline.
Yeah, and I mean obviously there's a lot of like tells too where we see like what might end up being a super prophetic confessional in episode one, where she's like, you know, I would rather, you know, get voted out first if I'm not going to win, kind of.
Yeah. Like, I mean,
to then go from crazy. Like, getting voted out first to then winning.
That'd be so crazy.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I'm in on it. I'm here for it. I saw someone on Twitter say that Drew feels like a fire-making challenge loser. And mm-hmm. I'm like, wow, that's so true. He really does feel like the guy who, you know, Jesse style falls short at the last moment.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think that also makes sense why he kind of, well, I don't know if like, I don't know if the show is trying to make Drew seem unlikable or if he's just mm-hmm. kind of like coming off that way to like a lot of people.
Right.
But like that kind of also would explain that, because historically I think the show has not wanted people to root for the fire making loser. I would say, you know, Jesse as an exception.
Right. Carson, I think a little too.
Yeah, true as well. Really, yeah.
Carson. But yeah.
No, yeah. So maybe not. Maybe not. But maybe also like I really don't know where the show is, I guess, going with Drew. So we'll see.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm excited for the rest of the season, as always. Now we can finally actually get to the merge. Can mm-hmm. finally play out the rest of this game. Hopefully no big twists to ruin it all.
Mm-hmm.
Still think it's fucking bullshit that they don't let the tribe that has to go to a new beach get their bags. That mm-hmm. like, because what's the point of having these twists if you're not gonna let the players access them? Yeah. You know, like Drew could have left Tribal Council, or he at least could have like played with the idea last episode. Sifu had a fake idol and a shot in the dark that he could have, you know, leveraged in some way, but they just weren't. And it's like, okay, like I don't hate it 100% in the sense that like I enjoy Survivor when it's more about the relationships, but it's like, okay, but these things matter apparently, and they're just not allowing them to have them. It seems really arbitrary and dumb.
Yeah, it's definitely counterintuitive for sure. So yeah, I agree. I don't know. Do you think just like the play now is like you have to bring all of your trinkets to every challenge?
Yeah, bring your bag everywhere. Bring your bag to every confessional.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you gotta take a leak. Bring your bag.
Well, yeah, then no, people can't look through it when you're
that's
when
true. You're, yeah,
off aqua dumping.
Because I, you know, I used to always assume that, and I'm sure I talked about it on the last podcast too. I used to always assume that these trinkets aren't like objects in the sense that you can lose them by not having access to them in the game. If you don't bring it to tribal council, that's a different thing. But like, you know, there are players who've been swapped in the past and it was never a question if they were going to keep their hidden immunity idol, right? You know, like I think like Malcolm in Fans versus Favorites, you know, he had his idol and he got swapped and like he was like, oh, I have it in my buff. And it's like, but did he bring it in his buff or you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, is he just going everywhere with it in his buff? Is that what every player who's ever had an idol has done for every swap, you know?
Yeah, it's definitely it is definitely interesting. And you know, also like I can understand, I guess, bringing your bag to every single pre-merge challenge because you could anticipate a swap and like don't necessarily know. So I don't know. It is kind of a silly like thing that we have to talk about. Like I would rather not care about whether or not somebody is bringing their trinkets to a challenge because they're going to be forced into a random beach.
Yeah, like Big Brother's twists are dumb, but at least they're just like concepts, and not, you know, physical items. You know.
Yeah.
That's all I got, really.
Yeah, I mean, despite having like, you know, two tribal councils to talk about, like both of them were kind of straightforward. You know, and the one set of things that we could talk about, I think we got through. So. Yeah, I don't really have much else from this episode.
Yeah, so, you know, we'll be back to finally finish covering Big Brother 25.
Yeah, we didn't forget.
No, we just fell off the wagon pretty hard because the steep decrease in quality.
Well, that's the excuse we're making for sure.
Yeah, right. As if we didn't miss like 2 weeks when we were still engaged and then just kind of let it play out. I do maintain that the zombies twist derailed the season pretty hard.
Yeah, and I mean, I think we said that at the time that this was going to derail the season, or like at least take a lot of momentum out of it. Who could have thought like having 2 weeks where nothing happened would destroy the momentum of a season?
Crazy, crazy. And hey, potentially winter season coming up. We'll see, you know, if we're up for covering that, depending on what it is.
Yeah, I don't know. I was not super happy with the Celebrity Big Brother season 3.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, if it's a legend season, we'll be there. 100%, we will cover it. Celebrity Big Brother might not happen.
Yeah, over the top two, I don't know. Me and Brian, I think, are like, kind of closet over the top. We're not even closet over the top.
I'm open. I'm about it. I love BBOTT.
Yeah.
It's one of the best modern seasons of Big Brother.
Yeah, no, definitely. I think OTT, I think rightfully gets a lot of flack.
It should.
Yeah, because one, the toxicity in the fan base at the time, and also two, the you know, the twists largely were really bad.
Yeah,
but really, really, really strong cast and really just like fun cast, really fun gameplay. Even though like. Even though they bastardized the game, it was still a fun gameplay. It was more fun gameplay than like a lot of modern Big Brother. So
yeah, a lot of the players on OTT wanted to be there more than like people who get on the real show, which was annoying. To like, you couldn't have saved Scott for a real season of Big Brother.
Yeah, Justin,
that guy wanted to be there so badly. Yeah, Shelby. Yeah, like these are people who would have been slam dunk, you know, on the regular season, and like you relegated them to like a season that no longer exists on Paramount Plus.
Yeah, well, that's kind of why I assume we're not getting OTT 2. But I know that there have been people who are saying it's not CBB4, which is confusing because
It doesn't make any sense to me. That's what I would have figured it would be, but
yeah, because like Julie also said, we've done this before, and it's like, okay, well, the only other thing I can think of is like the last time there was a writer's strike, we had BB9, which was like basically also a winter season.
Yeah.
And unless they mean just doing that and just doing like a shorter normal season of Big Brother, I don't know.
It was like a lover's twist in it, right?
Yeah, it was Till Death Do You Part. So they were paired up in couples.
They're just going to bring Adam back, even though he went to jail for using his winnings to try to start a drug empire. Fuck it, bring him back. That's someone who would try hard, at least.
Hey, look, you do all winners Big Brother. I don't think A Baller's on it, but I think if he is, he wins.
Right? Yeah. That's so funny. Yeah. I think here's the twist, Ben. You do what they did in Ultimate Big Brother in the UK, where the winner tonight doesn't get to leave. And a new cast moves in immediately. And they just have to play another season of Big Brother out. It's the longest season ever. They're going to be in there for 200 days.
Mm-hmm. And just do it again.
Yeah. Yeah. That is just, if you win Big Brother, you actually are perpetually trapped in the Big Brother house till you lose or lose your mind.
Yeah. I don't know. I would love, Dan is on Traitor season 2, so I think probably with like some contract stuff, he probably wouldn't be able to do it. All winners are legends thing, which sucks.
Yeah,
I mean, it's nice that he's on Traitors too. I'm gonna catch up on that for sure when that comes out.
Yeah, I was watching the first episode before recording. It's pretty good. The challenge aspect doesn't make any sense to me as to why it works like that, but. You can't expect him to knock it out of the park on the first go, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They should have, in the mole, when you lose a challenge, is the winning, like the cash prize from that challenge go to the mole's pot?
It goes into, it's not really a mole, the mole's pot, it's like a general pot for everybody. So the mole is paid just like a flat stipend.
Okay. So they're making the same amount no matter what. So like,
yes. Maybe it's based off of how much they keep out of the pot. I don't know.
Yeah. Cause I just think like, if you're going to do a thing where it's like, oh, we're all competing in a challenge and we're trying to use this to suss out who the traitors are. If you lose, the money should go to the traitor pot, you know? So then the traitors have an incentive to throw the challenge. Otherwise the traitors have the exact same incentive to do the challenge well.
Oh, that's interesting.
It would take two more seconds of game design thinking to be like, does this make any sense? Like, what's the purpose of this in the strategy? If you're just like, you're all playing, but like, you know, they have the players talking like, oh, you know, this person didn't do well in the challenge, that's something a traitor would do. Why would they do bad in a challenge? It's going to the pot, and the traitor wins the game if they can get to the end of the game, you know?
So what is the purpose of the traitor, then?
The traitors can murder someone every night.
Okay.
So everyone votes someone off, and then as long as there's a traitor in the game...
Okay, so it's just Mafia.
It's Mafia. Yeah, it's Mafia, with a weird, convoluted challenge pot mechanic.
Yeah, well, I mean,
presumably to pad out the runtime of the episode.
Yeah, so I think it's, you know, this is why I like games more so like the Genius or Devil's Plan. Like Devil's Plan, you know, spoilers, but episode one, the main match is like basically just like a Mafia game. Like it's just like a variation of Mafia.
Right.
And so like it makes sense because, you know, the people in the game are playing for individual incentives, and then later there's like second prize match afterwards, like the kind of like ties onto it, which is for a collective pot. So like it's kind of more split out. Maybe that would be a better way to do it for the traders, is to have like two separate challenges.
Yeah, or the traders get more money based on how many regular players they eliminate. It's messy because it doesn't really add anything. There's not like any drama beyond like can they get the money this round or not? You know?
Or yeah, it's not even like the mall where like, you know, one player is like definitely
just trying to throw. There's no reason to sabotage it at all as a trader.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I don't know. The only thing I can think is like people got annoyed with each other in the challenge for, you know, various reasons. And like maybe it's like, well, these players will get so annoyed with each other that they'll like come up with reasons to target each other that aren't like, you know, really making any sense, but they just don't like them, so they're trying to vote each other off.
Yeah. Yeah. That's fine. I don't want to like rag too much on a game that I don't even know because I haven't watched any of it yet.
Yeah, right.
But yeah. Yeah. We'll see.
Oh man. Did you see Circle two more seasons coming to Netflix, already filmed?
I presumed that it was. I knew that they were filming. I knew that they moved filming to Atlanta.
Yeah.
So I presumed there were seasons coming up at some point. I know House of Villains is out. I have to watch that at some point.
And I had to watch that. I just finished The Challenge USA season two. Very good.
Mm-hmm.
Very good season. Spoilers for that. But shout out Desi and Chris Underwood for winning that.
Mm-hmm.
Survivors now, you know, I guess
100%
win rate. 4-0, like whatever, however you want to say it. They dominate that show.
Makes sense. I mean,
yeah.
The other shows, I guess, like you would kind of expect maybe the Challenge Veterans to do okay on.
Yeah, they did good on this season.
Yeah,
yeah.
But otherwise, of like Survivor, Amazing Race, and Big Brother, and I guess on season one, Love Island for mm-hmm. some reason, right. Survivor probably is a show that like it best prepares you for that kind of a game.
Yeah, I felt like they really gave the. I don't want to get too odd on this, but I really felt like they gave the Amazing Race players the short end of the straw because there were not as many of them as any of the other shows. So
same on season one.
Yeah, it's like, well, obviously they're going to get targeted. Poor Dusty's fighting for his fucking life, you know, to stay in the game, and it just he had no shot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Speaking of the Amazing Race, though, this season of Amazing Race pretty solid, I would say. Above average.
Good.
Yeah. This past episode was really good. It definitely... I think the cast was probably too big because they're not doing non-eliminations anymore.
Right.
Which, you know, then leads, so like, it's kind of a trade-off.
Then leads to like double eliminations.
Well, no, they do keep on racing kind of like mega leg things. It's interesting. They're like pseudo non-elimination legs, but that requires them to have a bigger cast, which kind of makes some of the early episodes a little bit, hard to keep track of everyone because like with 13 teams, that's 26 people you have to keep track of. It's a lot.
Yeah.
But now that it's down to 7 teams at this point left, and it's a lot easier.
Is it like 11 on a normal cast of that? Yeah. Which is manageable.
Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah. So now that we're down to only 7 teams, it's a lot better. And this past the episode was self-driving, and it was a very long self-driving leg.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, really good. I would definitely recommend it if you've watched Amazing Race and enjoyed it in the past.
Yeah, right. It'd be my first non-half-gettable season.
Yeah.
The Amazing Race would be something. I'm glad it's still good. You know, I love Phil. He's a great host, so I'm glad he's still doing things. Gonna use my time to rag on Tough as Nails again. I'm glad he's not slumming it on that show.
Mm-hmm.
Even though, yes, he made it and he's like the executive producer. Well, I don't want to sound classic. It doesn't classist. It doesn't do anything for me.
Yeah, no, we said this before on the show. It's not. I don't know. Well, it feels like a. It feels like all of the interesting parts of a competition reality show just got sucked out.
Yeah. Oh, man. So, other than that, I can't think of any other reality TV stuff going on. Like you said, got to check out House of Villains. I've heard nothing but good things from people who watch it. It seems from the clips I've seen, New York called Omarosa. Some pretty vulgar things in an episode.
Yep.
Wild. Like it is an E, you know, reality show.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, it's from what I've seen for sure in clips, it definitely It makes me even more upset that New York has now dodged three seasons of Celebrity Big Brother US. She was on the UK version, but we couldn't get her on US. So it's, yeah, I don't know. It seems like such a slam dunk.
So you have Celebrity Big Brother UK. I saw someone quote or like use the tweet from Trisha Paytas when she got out of there, which she was like, worst experience of my life is like Suri when she gets out of the Big Brother house.
Yeah. It is funny now. We have now that we have three Survivor Big Brother crossovers, I think that have all three now said that Big Brother is harder.
I mean, was there ever a doubt?
Yeah.
I mean, Caleb almost died on Survivor, so maybe he's like, but I mean, I'm sure he would even be like, the game's a lot harder, you know, because he didn't die the second time he played. He just got voted off.
Yeah.
But I mean, yeah, I never doubted Big Brother was a harder game. Are you kidding me? Mm-hmm. Like, the downtime alone would drive me crazy, you know?
Yeah. Especially like you and me, like we've come from like the LRG scene, where we play like 2 to 3 day games, maybe sometimes even 1 day games, and to go through an entire season, like to have an entire week just to eliminate somebody is insane.
Yeah, was it Audrey, right? That was her name on BBC. The basically how she played and went out would probably be what happened. Or Hamza on BB Can, where he like played very aggressively right away and kind of flamed out. Like that's what I would imagine would happen.
Yeah, both ORG/LRG players.
One created Sequester, one played on Sequester.
But, yeah.
Yeah, I cannot imagine playing Big Brother, let alone for 100 days.
Yeah, it's a lot. Yeah, it's a lot.
then it gets bad because like, you know, you get down to the end and, you know, people, I feel like people start acting out of their own character and saying stuff that they're going to regret later. I'm sure you know what I'm talking about, you know, where it's like you can self-censor yourself for like 80 days and then just lose it in the last 20 because you're going like insane. And I'm not saying the stuff people are saying is good or right, but just remember that this is a very like insane thing to put yourself through.
Yeah, no, I it makes me think of I don't know if you know, like the Vsauce did like a kind of a series where he would go through different like tests and stuff, and he like locked himself into a white box or something for like a week. And he like he basically was trying to test whether he would be able to like keep his sense of time, I guess. I can't remember the exact reason, but you could probably find it on YouTube.
I'm sure you can't do that.
No, I mean he was like he fucking was very obviously mentally rattled after like 3 days.
I hope that they really do invest in the like therapy for these house guests.
They barely invested in cue cards for Matt.
That's fair. Yeah, they're like, what? You should be happy. This experience, it's a once in a lifetime thing. He's like, yeah. And also, you kind of ruined people's lives a little, at least temporarily.
Yeah. Hey, you know, it's gonna work out for Matt. Yeah, probably.
probably be fine. Yeah. So, oh boy. Thank God it's over, is all I'm gonna say.
Yeah.
Although I did use the, you know, that meme with the deep like turning around and smiling and running back up to the camera, like me returning to watch the winter season of Big Brother after hating the last like month of BB25.
Yeah.
Because I know myself, man. I know.
I'm 100%. I'm watching it. Are you kidding me?
Yeah. Oh man. All right.
What else am I going to watch?
Yeah, right? What am I going to do? Productive things with my life? Ugh, no. Mm-hmm. Fuck that. I'm going to be watching trash reality TV, baby. And making podcasts about it, probably. Yeah.
I'm glad we're able to stretch this out for another half an hour talking about random bullshit.
Yeah, I think like the people who are just here for Survivor, they're gone, but the freaks, you know, that are people, they're here being like, yep. Oh, I want to hear them talk about the other reality shows they watch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely go watch all of these. I'll say again, watch Genius, watch Devil's Plan, you know. Mm-hmm. Apparently The Traitors is good. Watch that.
Yeah, watch, Netflix, bring the get the rights to The Genius to put on your streaming so it's easier for people to watch.
I thought they were going to. I thought there was going to be a U.S. version, but it kind of fizzled. But maybe with the success of Devil's Plan, they'll move forward with it.
Yeah. You going to be watching Squid Game, the show?
We'll see.
Yeah. Kind of weird. Kind of weird to do. For Netflix to do.
Yeah, it's definitely kind of missing the point, I would say. Yeah.
But hey, I'm glad the creators probably made a lot of money off of it.
It definitely gives me like solitary kind of vibes. Mm. I mean, it probably wouldn't be as fucked up as that show was.
No, nothing is. That was a crime they committed.
Yeah,
on 10 people each season, they just like did a crime on TV. Mm. Yeah. One of the greatest shows of all time, also.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they hired the people who worked in the CIA black sites for the Bush administration.
Yeah.
And they're like, let's turn this into a game show.
You think in the middle of one of their torture series, like, this would make a great reality show, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, for 25 grand, or it was a 50 grand. It was something ridiculously small. Money. Yeah. It was like less than like the runners up of most of these shows makes.
So brutal. So I think that's what like the regular challenge is or was at some point too. Yeah. That's so crazy.
Yeah, I mean, there's no way I'm doing like I would do Big Brother for like, you know, even if it was still $500,000, I would still do Big Brother.
Yeah.
Like the idea of doing solitary for like 50 grand is psychotic to me. I don't know why you would do that.
Right.
It's not even like a well-known reality show. It's not like you're gonna like be able to go on like a, you know, network TV. Like you're not gonna be like, oh, I'm on CBS, mom. It's like, no, I'm on Fox Reality,
a channel that has not existed for like 15, maybe 20 years now.
Yeah,
now 15 is like in the mid 2000s, but
yeah,
that was insane. I think. I do think they should bring it back. No.
I mean, Netflix, I feel like Netflix would do it. I don't know.
Yeah, Mr. Beast is apparently doing right now a challenge, like just two people living in a room together.
Yeah, like that thing I just mentioned with the Vsauce thing.
Yeah, so it's like...
And like that seemed even more fucked up because from my understanding, it's like if either of them quit, neither of them get the money. So if you just have like a pussy as a partner who like, you know, goes for like 90% of the time and then just like, you know, pieces out, you've done nothing wrong and you get no money.
I do kind of think that's why Mr. Beast is like, these motherfuckers are winning too many of my challenges.
Yeah.
I don't know if it was a joke, but I saw he tweeted like, I made a huge mistake. I made a deal of like how long you can live in a supermarket. You'll get $1,000 a day, and he's not left in months. Like, I don't know if he's ever going to leave.
Mm-hmm.
Which, you know, excluding yourself from society and just living in a supermarket for $1,000 a day doesn't sound that horrible, to be honest.
I mean,
there are worse things.
Yeah, I feel like well, that's like a $365,000 a year, right? Mm-hmm. Like, there are people who do way worse, like way more grueling jobs than that for way less money.
Yeah, no, for real. So, God, I had to work in a supermarket every day of my life for years. They paid me a lot more than minimum wage.
Yeah, for like 10% of that money. Yeah,
yeah, it was psychological torture for real. Working with the public is horrible.
Yeah, so you'd basically be doing like double the amount for 10 times the pay. I feel like that's like...
You know, the only thing that would fuck me up is having flashbacks to that time in my life because I'm at a supermarket.
Well, yeah, I guess like, you know, what's... I feel like it's being in a supermarket would be like one of the easier places to live too, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you don't even have to walk to the store. Like, you're there.
Yeah,
you have everything you need.
You're just hanging out. Yeah. That's great.
You got, like, as long as you got, like, a, you know, some technology to keep yourself available, like even like a book or two, like,
yeah,
fucking just knock out your Goodreads, you know, backlog.
Yeah, I think Mr. Beast fucked up with that one pretty bad.
Yeah, that definitely seems like an I'm out of touch with working class people, yeah, you know, and what they would be willing to do kind of vibe.
Yeah, that is I never really worked a real job in my life to, like, like, people are like, whoa, it's very demeaning what Mr. Beast does. It's like, bro, working jobs is demeaning. What are you talking about?
Yeah, like, this is like, yeah, this is significantly less demeaning than, like, most, like, you know, hard labor jobs for sure.
Yeah, I've been verbally accosted for pizza toppings or, like, pizza not being cooked to a specific way for people. That's demeaning.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyways, we're so off topic. Thank you guys so much for watching. Ben, do you want to plug anything while we're here?
I mean, you can find me on Twitter, I guess. I don't know. It's I hate Twitter. Honestly, the only place that's worthwhile finding me is on these podcasts. So
yeah.
Right. Yeah. Again, I'll say just for me, go watch Devil's Plan so that we can guarantee a season two. I'm
going to
cry if there's not a season two.
Go check that out. As for me, you can follow me on Twitter at TheFakeBMR, B-M-A-R-R. I put a new Slow News Week out this week on the main channel, even. We could get everything. Talked about how Panera just decided to pump the shit out of their lemonade, or, like, pump caffeine into their lemonade to completely insane, unsafe levels and killed somebody.
Yeah.
So talked about that.
I had it last almost a year ago, I think.
Mm-hmm. Was it crazy?
It definitely felt like I was drinking like a Red Bull or something, or like a Monster.
Right, dude. It's more caffeine than two Monsters.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
I mean I'm a psycho and I drink a lot of caffeine. And I've like drank caffeine heavily since I was like 11 years old. So I feel like my body can handle it, but definitely for like a person who's not used to drinking an unsafe amount of caffeine, it's not good.
Dude, I saw a TikTok from a girl who like found out that there was that much, and she's like, I've been drinking this every day for like months. And dude, she looked coked out and sounded coked out. So like, this is bad for you, ma'am. This is horrible. But yeah, no, I'm the same. I always joke like I drink a Red Bull and go to sleep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I did in college. I drank like 3 to 4 Monsters a day and then would still like fall. I drank a Monster at like 3 a.m. while I was doing work and then fall asleep by 4.
Yeah. When you get like opinions on the different flavors and like taste of the different energy drinks, that's when you know you have a problem, you know?
Yeah.
But that was, you know, I was going to school and working at two supermarkets at the same time. I had to be fucking, it was either that or just straight up do coke, right? Like,
yeah.
Well, I really healthier.
I do juvies now, which is, it's like supposedly less unhealthy.
Right.
But it's like fucking, 100 Thieves, I think, Nade Shots.
Right. Yeah.
It's fine.
Yeah, I like Nade Shot. You know, I used to really like his Call of Duty game back in the day. Mm-hmm. But yeah, also rip Overwatch League while we're here. Fucking sucks, but you know.
Definitely saw that coming though. I mean, look, it's been on like ever since COVID. It's been on its fucking last legs. The fact that it lasted like 3 more seasons is insane.
Yeah, but I'll be honest. Like once I learned about Overwatch League, I was like, "This is incredible," and I'm mentally prepared for this to end at any moment.
No, the fact that it lasted 6 seasons through COVID is it outperformed my expectations.
Yeah. No, same. And now, you know, there'll be a more probably an open, you know, Overwatch. So it's not like we're going to lose pro Overwatch entirely.
Mm-hmm.
Just the teams, which, you know, that does suck. We never get to see an Uprising championship, but We were there, man. We went to the first two Overwatch World Cups, and that was an incredible experience. So
I was looking when I saw the news, I went back and looked at the pictures, and
so fun. Yeah. If you want to hear about our first experience there, that's on the We Can Get Everything channel. I did a like vlog / telling the experience. It's worth it for the DJ Khaled concert moment alone. Like, what a surreal time. So yeah, check out the main channel. This is, of course, Better Radio, our podcast channel. Then we have We Can Get Sports. We cover all kinds of sports all the time. Other than that, thank you so much for listening, and we'll see you in the next one.